you're holding a moment of rest, someone Olive, about 10 lines from the top by the two dots. Okay, we have three opinions in the Mishnah how long Tishri can be going on for before the birth, and we can attribute it to the baby, aside from Machlokas, again, how long before the birth it stops that we say that she's considered a Zava. So we have three opinions. We have Reb Meir saying even 40 or 50 days. We said 40 if she's strong, 50 if she's weak. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying only within the ninth month, which we said could end up a Kola or a Chomra, because according to him, any bleeding during the ninth month, even if it happens at the beginning of the ninth month and she gives birth at the end of the ninth month, can be attributed to the baby. And then we have the third opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Shimon Omrim, and Koshi Yosef of Beis Shabbosis. They say the maximum time that Koshi can be, that we can attribute to the baby, is 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So, Amar Shmuel, my time, I would do Rabbanon. Why do these Rabbanon, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, hold specifically 2 weeks? So, like this, in the pasuk that talks about the tumah that a woman has after she gives birth, the expression is that if she gives birth to a girl, the tumah shvu'ayim kinidasa, she will be tumah for 2 weeks, like her nida. Hello? Now, from that word kinidasa, we learned, that means kinidasa v'loike zivasa, which we learned from that before. We said that that's where we learn the concept that there's a difference between whether it happens during Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva. We said before
yesterday that sometimes Nida can also include Ziva, the word.
No, we never said the word Nida can include Ziva. No, it is true. The pasuk that mentions the Nida uses the expression Dom Yia Zoiva Bivsara, but nevertheless, fine, it uses the word Zoiva, because after all, blood flows during the time of Nida as well. But no, what we said is, all this time, we've been saying in this whole discussion of Dam Koshi, we've been saying that if the koshi happens during the time of Ziva, during the 11 days when ordinarily she could have been a Zava, then we say she's not becoming Tomei from it on the grounds that Dhamma, Veloi Machnas Vlad. So therefore, so if the pasuk here is mentioning 2 weeks, like her Nida, and like her Nida, meaning as opposed to her Ziva, Miklal the Zivasa Tahora, implying that if it happens during the time of her Ziva, then she's Tahor, the Kamba, but what's the maximum amount? Shuayim, 2 weeks, because that's where we, in other words, we Gaushin, not just that she's Tomei for 2 weeks after the birth of a girl, but also the maximum amount of time when we can say, Kinidasa Veloika Zivasa, is 2 weeks. So therefore, they said that's where they're getting the 2 weeks from. The Rambam, by the way, passed like them, and we mentioned yesterday one reason the Magid Mishnah says one reason might be because they were two Tanoim, where each of the other opinion is only one, where each of the other opinion is only one Tanner, a Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Another reason might be because Shmuel over here calls them Rabbanon, implying that they're the majority of them. Okay. Tanner Rabbanon. Now let's talk. Okay, so we said that the maximum according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon then is 2 weeks of Dam Koshi. Any more than that, even if it continues until the birth, any more than that then shows that she's going to be a Zava Gdola or Zava Kana, as the case may be, depending how many days of it were before the 14 days. So, you can have a case of a woman who's bleeding with pain. It doesn't have to be the whole time with pain. Yesterday we talked about, we had cases, Reb Meir had said 150 days, that we had a Braita that said 100 days. So now we're going to say specifically that you have a case where she can have 25 days in a row, leaving aside the Yemei Tara for a baby, the Ein Ziva Oyla Bahen, we're doing none of that time does she become a Zavag Jola. Kesad, Shnayim Veloy. None goes against, it's a different scenario, but wait. Kesad, Shnayim Beloy Es, suppose that the first two of these days were Beloy Es Nidasa, meaning during the last 2 days of her Ziva period, so the 10th and 11th day of her Ziva period. If she bleeds during that, she's not a Zavag Dola, and she can't become a Zavag Dola from that, because the next day is already back in the Yemei Nida.
She bleeds 25 days?
No. Right now, we're starting from the beginning. She has 2 days in a row, which were at the end of her Ziva cycle. So the 10th and 11th day of the Ziva period. Then the Shiva Nida, then continuously the next days, you have 7 days, all those days she's Nida. Obeys Shalacha Nida. Then you have another 2 days after the Nida, the 2 days of the next Zava period, the first two of the next 11 days. Then she gives birth. and then 14 days, as we said, according to the Yossi and Rav Shimon, because the maximum according to them is 14 days. No, not 14 days after birth. Sorry, I said it wrong. Not she gave birth yet. This is all the 14 days of Dam Koshi before the birth. We're according to the Yossi and Rav Shimon, that's why we're bringing it in over here. We're according to the Yossi and Rav Shimon, she's not a Zava. Even though those are taking place during during the days of Zava, they begin on the third day of her Zava period. But she's not a Zava because, again, it's Zava Machmas Asma. It's not Zava Machmas Asma. It's Zava Machmas Vlad. And we said before, that doesn't make her a Zava.
Why are you calling it Zava?
Well, because the fact is blood is flowing. The fact is blood is flowing. It's during the Yemei Ziva. And had it not been Dam Koshi, she would be Tomei from it. But because it's Dam Koshi,
meaning
Dam with pain.
Oh, yes, reverse.
Yeah, right. Within 2 weeks of giving birth.
Right.
So far what we're saying is what we're saying is like this. She has the koshi that we're talking about is actually during the 14 days before the birth. Here we're talking about, in other words, we're talking within the. So okay, she had the 10th and 11th day of one ziva period that she started bleeding. Then you have another 7 days continuously doing the Yemei Nida. And all of this could be, by the way, all of this could be with Koshi. Rashi actually says over here that being Koshi or being Shofi, some of it can be Koshi, some of it can be without pain, but whatever, each of these 25 days. So you have, again, the 10th and 11th day of Ziva, seven days of Nida, so far that's 9 days consecutively. She's not a Zavak Dorla yet because she hasn't had 3 days during the Yemei Ziva. Two more in the next Yemei Ziva, the first and the second days of the Yemei Ziva.
She's still not a
Zavak Dorla because you don't have 3 days consecutively. You have to have 3 days consecutively during one 11-day period. Here it's two and two. Then you have, after that, you have 14 days of Abbas Shavlad Matar. Then you have the next 14 days, she's having Dam Koshi, but according to Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, that doesn't make her a Zava. Even though it began during her Zava period, it began on the third day of her Zava period, nevertheless, they're saying it doesn't make her a Zava. Because it has to be, in order for her to be a Zava, it would have to be Domo Machmas Asma. It would have to be the blood is coming on its own without it being as a result of an impending birth. Therefore, so now you're off to 25 days. With it. Right. No, so these are with Koshi.
Yeah. You start 2 days Yemei Ziva. How should she have Yemei Ziva if she's not in India period?
So what we mean is earlier that month, she had a Nida. It's true that usually while she's pregnant, she's not going to So in other words, But all we're trying to figure out over here is the fact that you have 25 consecutive days of bleeding.
Oh.
The fact that earlier that month she was in Nida for 7 days, that's neither here nor there. So in other words, let's draw out the scenario. So let's say we're beginning from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So Rosh Chodesh Nissan, she had bleeding. So Rosh Chodesh Nissan, let's say she had her first bleeding of that month. That makes her a Nida. That makes her 7 days. So Aleph through Zion, she's a Nida.
That's her normal time.
The next 11 days from Ches through Yud Ches, she's a Zav. Now, what happens is the last two of those Yemei Zava, of those Yemei Ziva, so for nine of those days, nothing happens. Then on the 10th and 11th days, which would be, what, the 17th and 18th of Nissan, the 17th and 18th day since she began her Nida cycle, she bleeds. Then it continues for another, so those two make her a Zavak Tana, fine, still not a Zavak Dola yet. Then she has seven clean days, then she has 7 days of Nida. From the 19th to the 25th of the month, they're going to be her 7 days of Nida, but she bleeds on the 19th. She did bleed on Rosh Chodesh, but that's fine. That created her Nida. That created her Pesach Nida, as we're going to call it later on. And seven days after that begins her Ziva,
right.
Begins her possible period of Ziva.
She got there and
then, aside from the first of Nissan, there was no further bleeding until the 17th of Nissan. Now, she has the 17th, the 18th, and then continuing from there. Now, she has another 7 days, the 19th through the 25th of Nissan. Those are all her Yemei Nida. At the end of that, she could, in principle, go to the mikveh and be mutter to her husband. In practice, no, because in practice, she had 2 days of Ziva before that, and she still needs one clean day. But fine, we're not getting into that. The point is that she's not a Zavah Gdola. Then she has another 2 days after that, which is the beginning of her next Zava cycle, because every time after 7 days of Nida, immediately you have 11 days of Ziva. So it so happens that the first two of those days she bleeds without pain. It's in Shofi. but she's still not yet a zavak gedolah from that, because it needs to be. Then begins the dam koshi and lasts for another 14 days. So altogether, she's bleeding 25 days in succession, and she hasn't become a zavak gedolah.
And the question is?
No question. It's just the Braita thing. Now, it's impossible, continues the Mishnah, that there should be dam koshi for 26 days successively without a baby. Without giving birth. In other words, if it's 26 or more days, then she shouldn't be a yeletus bezoiv. If it's 26 days or more, there's some place there's going to have been 3 days in succession during the 11, and then she's going to be a yeletus bezoiv. Because remember, all of this bleeding happened before the baby is born. So the question is, when you mean bezoiv vlad, if there's no baby, it's lasa nami sag, you don't need 26 days, or you need 3 days. So what are we? Well, that's what the Braita is saying. If there's no vlad, then it's impossible for there to be. If without a vlad, it's impossible for there to be 26 without it being yeletus bezoiv. But what do you mean? If there's no baby there in the first place, you don't need to. There's no 2 weeks of dam koshi or nothing. Once you have 3 days in succession, then Amar of Sheshes, Amar b'makom sheyesh vlad. So Rav Sheshes says, you're right. The Braita has to be changed. Instead of saying b'loy vlad, it would have to say the opposite. B'makom sheyesh vlad. When there is a baby, it's impossible for there to be 26 days in succession without being yeletus bezoiv. You were saying that this contradicts what we were saying on Amud Aleph. The difference is, on Amud Aleph, the cases we were talking about involving the 150 or the 100 or the 114 days, we're talking about before and after the birth. Because that all depended on the opinion. Here it's only before. Because there we were depending on the opinion. There we were depending on the opinion that it's possible for the womb to open up for birth and not necessarily does blood have to come out. The Rambam, by the way, holds that way. We learned about this concept earlier in the Masechta, we said the Rambam passes that way. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with that. So our Braita is focusing on what happened before the birth. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Sheshet says it means Mokhm Shiesh Vlad. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, how can you change the wording of the Braita that way? Because Beloy Vlad Katani. The Braita says, without a baby. You can't say that the Braita made a mistake in the wording, but not to go 180 degrees from there is a baby to there isn't a baby. Ella, Amalei Rava Hachikon. Right. What Rava says, what the Braita means is as follows. E extra should discuss etu mishishin yon Mokhm Shiesh Vlad, Beloy Teheya, let us bezoiv. It means like this. When there is a baby, it's impossible for there to be this dam koshi for 26 days consecutively without being yeletus bezoiv, because somewhere in there then you're going to have three in a row during the 11 days. But the Braita is also implying if there's no live baby, there's only a stillbirth, the tlofen nami have yezava. Then you don't need as much as 26 days. Then 3 days in succession is enough to make a yezava. Why? My time ain't koshi in the fallen, because the tana of this braita holds that when it comes to nefallen, when it comes to stillbirth, there's no damn koshi. We learned on Amud Aleph, we learned yesterday that Reb Meir holds that way, Ein Koshil and Afalim, that any time, if it turns out she has a stillbirth, then we say the previous Dam Koshi does not have the status in Halacha of Dam Koshi. It's considered regular Dam Nidur Zava, as the case may be. So here, the Braita is telling us the same thing. If there ends up being a live baby at the end of it, then 25 is the maximum. There's no way you could get to 26 without her being a Zava at some point. Because practically speaking, because think of how we got the 25. We said two of Ziva, seven of Nida, two of Ziva, and then 14 of Koshi.
That's 11.
So that's 11, and then 14 of Koshi is 25. So if you have 26, then it means someplace over there. You had 15 or more days of Koshi, and according to Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, that doesn't work. 14 is the maximum. So therefore, anything earlier than 14 days before the birth turns out to be ziva, and she already had two during that particular last period of ziva, because we're saying the first and the second, and now on the third day she starts down
koshi. That she bled twice.
We're talking about that she's bleeding every day continuously for 25 or 26 days.
You said it was 2 days of bleeding before the 7 days.
Two days before the 7 days, then the 7 days,
then
two
days,
after,
then two after,
and then, right, and no, that's what we're saying, that's the case. That so far, that makes 11, and then 14 days of koshi. Because if you had any more than that, if you had 15 days of koshi, Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon would say that doesn't work. Only the last 14 of those would be tahor, because shvuayim, 2 weeks. Anything earlier than that would be considered ziva, and since you had 2 days before that also during the Yimei Ziva, so you got three in a row of Yimei Ziva, and that makes three, let us do it. If you don't have 2 days before, then you don't have the 25 days anyway. The whole point is, you can't get to 26 days without having 3 days in succession of ziva.
Even though it's not 3 days separately.
No, it is.
It's 2 days, 14-day break.
No. They would say it's the other way around. The last 14 days before the birth are considered the dam koshi. Anything before that, in this case, let's say the koshi, the pains and everything began 15 days before. They would say that first day is not considered dam koshi. It doesn't have the special halacha that she's exempted from ziva. It's considered regular ziva. And since you had 2 days before, since in the scenario that we're talking about, you had 2 days during who you made ziva before that, so you got 3 days in a row, and then she says, "Oh,
but they say 14 days in the koshi, not more."
And not more, exactly.
Right. But according to...
According to the mayor, and Rabbi, we're not talking about that. We're talking about according to the Yehudi and Rabbi.
According to have you have to have 3 days into the chesed to make a Ziva Gdora. She only has two in the beginning, and then
she has
a 14-day break.
No. Listen, the case of 26 days, one possible case of 26, for example, would be she had two at the beginning, two of Ziva, seven of Nida.
That's nine.
Two of Ziva, that's 11. And then 15 days of Koshi. That's 26. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would say, out of those 15 days, the first one of those is not Koshi, it's regular Zava. So you have 1, 2, 3 of Zava. And then you have 14 of Koshi. But 1, 2, 3 of Zava makes her a Zava. And then she's going to be a Yodet. That's what we're saying. That's why we're saying 25 is the maximum for her not to be a Zava.
25, there's still a break in between where she has...
No, there's no break. No, there's no...
14 days.
The 14 days are Dam Koshi. Fine. Dam Koshi doesn't make her a Zava. That's the point. That's the point. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, even though...
13 days of Dam Koshi, she's not...
Fine, then obviously it's 20... We're saying 25 is the maximum. Obviously,
right.
You could have less. But we're saying...
You call them Koshi, even though... But it started with 2 days of...
It started previously. There was no koshi during the first 11 days. Fine. But it doesn't matter. The first 11 days, I'm not able to make her a Zav of Gdol anyway, because it's 2, 7, and 2. There's no 3 days in succession during any 11-day period. Okay. Mishnah says, Hamakasha b'seh shmoinim shol nekeva.
So that's
Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, now we understand their opinion. Where are they getting their 2 weeks? And they're saying, in addition, it's possible to have up to 11 days before that that are not with koshi, and all of that still doesn't combine together to make a result of good.
And the Braisa still stays the same.
So Rava is saying the problem we had with the wording of the Braisa is that it used the word b'loy vlad, but Rava explains what it means is the Braisa is telling us two different cases. If there is a vlad, then the maximum is 25. If there's no vlad, then the maximum is far less than that. Once he has 3 days of bleeding in a row, then he's a result of good. Because they ain't kosher than a problem. Without actually having to change the words, just by saying that the braisa is like missing a line or something, sort of like a sodom.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, suppose a woman has dam koshi within the 80 days after she gave birth to a girl. Now, Rashi explains there are two possibilities. One possibility, and this first possibility requires that she had a girl first. Because we learned before, it takes 40 days for a baby to be formed to the point where it's even considered a baby in halacha. So with a girl, since you have 66 yemei tara, there's room enough for her. She could conceivably, she has the baby girl. 2 weeks later, she goes to the mikveh. Let's say she wasn't a yaletis bezoiv, to keep things simple. 2 weeks later, she goes to the mikveh. She's mutter to have relations with her husband. She has relations. She gets pregnant. And then you have, within 66 days after that, she miscarries the second baby. So it's still within the 80 days of Dam Tohar, the 66 days of Dam Tohar for the girl. But now it's Dam Koshi. So what happens? So that's one scenario, Rashi says. The other scenario, Rashi says, is you could have, we learned in the previous parak, we said that sometimes you can have twins that are born sometime apart. We had Yehuda and Chizkiya, the sons of Rechiah, where one of them was born after a 7-month pregnancy and the other one after a 9-month pregnancy. So they were born a couple of months apart. So there also you could have where one of them was born and then within the Yemei Tohar, after that first one, she starts having Dam Kishri for the second one. So what happens? Kol damim shehiroya tahorim. So all blood that comes out of her is tahor, because it's all within the yemei tohar. Ad sheyetzei avlad until the baby comes out. Once the new baby comes out, sure, she's going to be tamei because of the birth. But that's
not according to Rambam.
No, but even not according to Rambam.
Rambam doesn't hold it, but blood can come out even without.
No, because once the baby comes out, she's tamei from leida anyway. Even if there's no blood that comes out,
no.
There is a culture that once she has a boy or a girl, she's tamei leida 7 or 14 days, as the case may be. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Metame. Rabbi Eliezer says in this case the blood would be tamei because since it's dam koshi, he says you can't consider it dam toha. So therefore, he's going to say a concept that we similar to what we learned before, similar to a concept we learned before, where we said there's a difference whether it happens during who you may nidah or during who you may ziva. So he's going to say it depends whether this blood comes during the you may nidah or during the you may ziva. If it comes during the you may nidah, then you're going to consider her tummy. If it comes during the you may ziva, then fine, she'll be tummy.
But she's mutter.
But Rabbi Eliezer says, since this is dam koshi, then it's an exception to the rule. Usually dam toha is mutter, that's when it's because of the previous baby that came out. Here, it's because of the new baby that's yet to come out. Then Rabbi Eliezer says, then we treat it like regular dam koshi, and we say that it depends whether she's in the days of nidur or the days of ziva.
Can dam koshi be stronger than the period of ziva?
In effect, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that we ignore the fact that she's doing the Yimei Tov.
Yeah.
Rabbi Eliezer, that's effective. That's one second. Omru Loilu Rabbi Eliezer, so the Chachamim asked Rabbi Eliezer, how can you say that?
Yeah.
Don't we have a Kavach Chomer? Uma b'mokim shehechme b'dama shofi. Madach, in the case where we are machmer with blood that comes without pain, the regular case of a woman who gives birth, where we said that if she has blood for a few days in succession without pain, then she's a Yoledes Vezoiv, or even she had a couple of days with pain and then one day break, whatever, then she's a Yoledes Vezoiv. So we see that we're machmir on blood that comes without pain, heiko b'damakoshi, and during that time before the birth of the first baby, we're meiko with blood that comes with koshi, that comes with pain. Well, then mokom... In the sense that she's not, that she's not coming from it, right? For up to 2 weeks or for up to two weeks. No, this is before the baby is born. This is because damakoshi. This is because So it's a madach before the birth where we're mako on blood that comes without pain, or machma rather, on blood that comes without pain, and we make her a zava for it, but we're mako on blood that comes with pain and say that it's part of the birth. And
okay.
Without pain, we're machma. She's a zava.
Okay.
We say that when it comes to dam shofi, before the birth, when she has bleeding without pain, we're machmir, and we make her a zava for it. Heikol b'dama koshi, yet during that same period, if she has dam koshi, we are mekahar her. In that case, mokum shehekel b'dama shofi, in that case, during the 40 or 80 days, during the 33 or 66 days of Tara, where we make her with blood that comes with shofi, because any blood that she bleeds during that 33 or 66 days, she's tahor regardless, it's dam tahor regardless, whether there's pain or not. Ain't a din shenokel b'dama koshi? Shouldn't it be a kavach chomer that we're going to be make her with blood of koshi? So why are you being metamehor in that case? Amalahan. So Rabbi Eliezer answers them, sure, but fine, you have a kavach chomer, but we know that a kavach chomer can be modified by daya levom and adin lias kenodon. You can't make what you're learning by the kavach chomer be stronger than what you're learning from. This is a famous concept that we have in many places in Shas.
How would you break it down?
So therefore,
what's it called?
It's called daya levom, which means it's enough. Levom in adin, that's something that is learned from a kavach chomer, lias kenodon. It shouldn't be any stronger than what we learned from. The classic case of it, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, we learn from the story at the end of Parashat Baal Oitzah, when Miriam spoke a Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and she got Saras, and Moshe davened for her, Kelna Rafan Allah, so Hashem tells him, listen, if she had insulted her human father, she would have to be in disgrace for 7 days. Kavachomer, for insulting Hashem, she should have to be in disgrace for 14 days, for twice as much. We learned previously that each parent gives the child 5 things, and Hashem gives him ten. However, daya levamin adin lias kenodin, we can't make what we're going to learn by the kavachomer, what happens if a person insults Hashem, we can't make it stronger than what we're learning from if she insulted a human. Therefore, it's going to be only 7 days. From there, we learn the concept of daya. That applies to every place where we have a kavachomer. We can always limit it using daya. So Rabbi Eliezer says, "Mima heikol aleha." Okay, what are we being make on her before a birth, during with the dam koshi before the birth? The tumas ziva. Fine, we're saying that if it happens during the days of ziva, then she's not a zava. Abel tmei tumas nida. But we said before that if she has dam koshi during the days of nida, then she's a nida. So therefore, by the same token over here, I'm going to say the same thing during the yemei tara. If she has new dam koshi from a new baby, then yes, it depends whether it's during the yemei nida or during the yemei ziva. You chachamim want to be matahar her from both, but that violates the concept of diet. Okay.
And it's always a given that when after childbirth, after the 4th days when she's going to midwifery time, she'll see blood. It's going to be blood. It's not going to be painful blood.
Well, it doesn't matter really. During those 33 or 66 days, it doesn't matter whether it's accompanied by pain or not. Either way, the Torah is makare. But over here, where it's coming specifically because dam koshi, because blood accompanied by labor pains for the next baby that's going to come.
Well, we don't know this. We don't know this.
We know she can know. She can tell for herself all these pains. She knows that she can tell the difference between labor pains and other kinds of pains. Yeah,
because it's only 40 days of the baby just starting. You don't feel baby moving around.
No, not moving around. But if you're starting to go, if she's starting to go into labor, then she feels it.
Yeah,
some kind of labor. I mean, yeah, the baby still needs to come out. There's still to be contractions, and other things. It has to be. If she's giving birth within the 80 days, it has to be a stillbirth. Early, yeah.
But you see, when she has the let's say the after having the baby, okay, it has to be a minimum of 14 days because she goes to mikvah.
Right.
So the 16th day, all of a sudden she has pain. That's only 2 days that she's pregnant. She's gonna know. Oh, this is a pregnancy. So I'm coming.
Because in any case, you need the baby to develop for 40 days first. So you're going to have, so in Rashi's first scenario, you're going to have, this can't possibly take place before 54 days after she had the first 14 days plus 40. For the second baby to start. In Rashi's second scenario, fine, you could have because she's having twins and one of them, she had one of them, and she still has the other, so fine. It's large enough inside her that,
you feel a baby that's not about 6 months.
So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a bright. So let's expand on what we learned in the Mishnah a little bit. The Chachamim say like this: when we say in the pasuk Teshev, the pasuk says by a woman who gives birth to a boy or to a girl, it says Teshev. She sits in Dmei Tara. Now, what does that word Teshev teaches us? L'rabbis on the Kasha b'Sech Shmoinim on the Keva. It comes to tell us this case of our Mishnah. She has Dan Koshi within those 80 days, within those 66 days of Dmei Tara. For a girl, she called Zomim, she Roya Tahoda, and she hits that blood. Any blood that she sees, Keshev, nevertheless, we said she still sits in Dmei Tahara, she's still in the status of Dmei Tahara, even though this blood is coming from a new cause, namely a new baby, rather than the old baby. Rather than regular Dmei Tahara. The Mishnah said it's not good. The Mishnah said it is good. Tahoda, and she hits that blood. The Tanakhama said it is, though. She is okay.
Present during the
80 days? Sure, that's what we're saying, because as soon as she goes to the mikveh, as soon as she goes to the mikveh after the 7 or 14 days, then she can right away have relations with her husband. Again, not nowadays because they don't do dam toya, but in those days, I came across this in connection with today. You know, we have in next week's parasha, we talk about the Shimon and Levi wiping out Shechem, and you have the famous thing that, you know, we learn from the pasuk over there by Yichu, it says, Ish Chargoy, we learn from that, it's one source for the idea that a person's 13 years, that a boy's 13 years old is bar mitzvah. It's considered an ish. We learn that. And there's a Rishimus with it.
How old
was it? Levi, who was the younger of the two brothers, was 13. And there's actually in Rishimus, there's actually in one of the Rebbe's Rishimus, he calculates how we can figure out based on the lengths of their pregnancies and the time between the Emmaus' pregnancies that Levi turned exactly 13 on that day that they wiped out Shechem. That ever makes the calculation. And yeah, that calculation relies on the fact, among other things, that yeah, they had the baby, they had 7 days of trauma, and then immediately after that, Leah went to the mikveh and then had relations with Yaakov again and then became pregnant with the next kid.
Those days everyone had to get the nurse, those days died.
No, but in the past, she gave her to a wet nurse or something.
This was after she...
No, but the point is that Yaakov had relations with Leah the first time when they got married. She conceived Reuben. A few months later, 7 or 9 months later, depending on different opinions, she had Reuben. She has a week of trauma. She goes to the mikveh. She has relations with Yaakov again, and she becomes pregnant with Shimon and repeats the same thing with Levi and so forth. Okay, anyway.
This was before
Matan Torah, but they still kept the Torah. The obvious kept the Torah, as we know. Okay, anyway. So for Rabbi Eliezer Matame, Rabbi Eliezer says in this case she would be Tomei because it's Dam Koshi. It would be Tomei if it's during the time of Nidah. So again, the Chachamim start arguing to Rabbi Eliezer, like they did in the Mishnah. So the first part of their argument is a little bit different than we have in the Mishnah. First, they do one argument, and when that doesn't work, they try the second argument, which is the one that's in the Mishnah. It is a Kabbalah. Both of them are Kabbalah, but wait. Mind you, actually, you have a bit of discussion over here among Achronim, Marsha, among others, says that fundamentally the Chachamim are really learning from the word Keshim. They're using the Kal V'Chomer to strengthen that. They're saying because of our Kal V'Chomer, that's what causes us to darish in the word Keshim the way we did, that it means that the Gam Koshi is Tahor. Different other Mephoshim talk about different other possibilities. Are the Chachamim mainly basing themselves on the Pasuk and they're just bringing the Kal V'Chomer as a method of argument, or is it mainly they're basing themselves on the Kal V'Chomer and that forces them to darish in the Pasuk that way? Whatever. Anyway, so they say, Madoch, consider like this. We're machmu if she bleeds without pain before the baby is born. We say that makes her a zava. Shehechma b'shoifi shalifnei avlad, right? If she has bleeding 3 or more days in succession with shoifi, there's no pain, before the baby comes, obviously she's a zava, no question about it. Hekel b'shoifi shalachar avlad, but at the same time, we're saying if she were to have that same bleeding, also without pain, after the baby is born, during the 33 or 66 days, she would be tahor, would be mekel on her. So then, mokum shehekel b'koshi shalifnei avlad, in that case, if we're mekel on blood that comes with koshi before the baby, for up to 2 weeks, as we said, before the baby is born, ena din shenokel b'koshi shalachar avlad, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that we should be mekel on blood that comes with koshi after the first baby? So why are you being the tamer?
This question Rabbi
Lez. This is exactly what the question Rabbi Lez. Amalahem, so Rabbi Lez answers them, same thing. Dayel of Amen Adin is Kenodin. Yes, but you have to, you can only make Kal V'Chomer when subject to Dayel. After all, we said, fine, you're learning from the case before she gives birth, if she has Koshi over there, but when is she Tahor from Koshi? Only if it was during the days of Ziva. Av Matama Tumas Nida. But as we said before, if it's during the days of Nida, she is going to be Nida. Well, by the same thing then, when we're talking about Dam Koshi within the Yimei Tohar, same thing. It depends whether it's during the days of Nida or the days of Zavah.
She's saying during the days of Nida,
she's going to be Nida, right?
Nida,
right.
So during Yimei Tohar.
So they're during Yimei Tohar, same thing. If it's during Yimei Nida, then Amrulai, so the Chachamim said to him, Hareyonu Meshivin Lecha Loshen Acher, okay, we'll try telling it to you, we'll try our Kal V'Chomer using a different Loshen, which is the one that we have in the Mishnah. Let's consider the first two sides of the Kal V'Chomer, not the previous Kal V'Chomer. We're comparing before the birth and after the birth. And then we're comparing before and after. We're comparing Shofi before and Shofi after. And then we're comparing Koshi before and Koshi after. Now the Chachamim are saying, let's try comparing within before the birth, between Shofi and Koshi, which is what we have in the Mishnah. Where she has blood with shofi before the baby, but during those same days, if instead she has the blood with koshi, she's tahor. So then during the Yimei Tohar, we're mekel, even if the blood comes with shofi and she's not tamei from it, how much more so then we should be mekel when it comes with koshi during that time. Omelahem and Rabbi Eliezer.
After the
blood, yeah. Where does the second baby come? Where does the second baby come? That's what we're talking about. Omelahem, Rabbi Eliezer says to them, still no good. Afilo after Meshivin Kolayim Kolay, even if you're going to argue against me the whole day, Dayel of Omen Adin Mis Kenodin, we still have to say Dayel, Mima Hekel Alea Mitumas Ziva. What are we being makel on her before the birth? Is only from Tumas Ziva. Avmatama Tumas Nida. So the same thing applies after the birth as well. Okay, so the Ritva talks about, so what were the Chachamim thinking? Didn't they realize you can answer them the same thing? And so the Ritva says that there's a difference, because in the first Kal V'Chomer, Dayoi has to do with directly what we're learning from the Kal V'Chomer. As opposed to, in the second Kal V'Chomer, it's sort of a side thing. We're doing a main Kal V'Chomer, and then we sort of have an outgrowth of it. So the Chachamim figured maybe Dayoi doesn't apply in that case. But as I say, nevertheless, Dayoi still applies. Well, the halacha is still like the chachamim, but the halacha is still like the chachamim. Okay, so they would say, as the Ritva says, for example, that the chachamim would hold that dayo doesn't apply in this, right. Doesn't apply in this case because it's a different type of Kal V'Chomer. Yeah. I could see if I could find here real quick obviously I know what the halacha is. I was going to see if I could find the Ritva real quick, but all right. If I can find it, then fine. If not, then whatever. Off John. Okay.
Omer.
This has a surprising lot of good things on it. Yeah.
Hebrew books?
Yeah, no, not Hebrew books. Safaria.
Safaria?
Safaria, yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's sweet. Yeah. So the Ritva says it here, yeah, because the Chachamim are arguing at this. He says that now we're not making a Kavachomer from Koshi before the Vlad. We're just making from one time to the other time. We're really fundamentally, we're learning Koshi Sha'acha Vlad from Shofi Sha'acha Vlad. So it's true. It requires us to have and to use the Koshi Shalifnei Vlad as well, but fundamentally we're making a Kavachomer between two things that are within the Yemei Sahara. So the Chachamim take the view that you can only take Dayos where it affects the main Kavachomer, not where it's a branch of it. And Rabbi Yehuda would still say you can still slug it up that way as well. So therefore, it's an argument about the mechanism of how Dayos works. That is what it refers to, actually, when we have other machlokas in. We have similar machlokas in like that about the mechanism of Dayoi in Bava Kamma, where it talks about Dayoi. You have a machlokas or Tazan and the Chacham on it. The Gemara talks about over there about another machlokas involving the mechanism of Dayoi. Do we say Dayoi where if you apply it, you don't have a Kavachomer at all? So, yeah, you have machlokas. Just like with all... If you have a case where if you were to apply Dayoi, then you don't have a Kavachomer, then the Kavachomer is not teaching you anything. So the Tazan holds then that you don't do Dayoi, and the Chacham holds you do. With pretty much all of the Yerbil Midas, you have machlokas in, you have machlokas Hanoim and machlokas Hamaroim, how to use it exactly, right? Okay, fine. Omar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Bahazachinu Rabbi Eliezer l'Rabbanan. Actually, Rabbi Eliezer can have a very good, strong argument against the Rabbanan, and he could argue as follows. Not the Kavachomer, fine, they can be arguing about whether Dayoi applies here or not. But he could say to them like this. Lav amritu doma means doma machmas asma v'loy machmas vlad. Haven't we been saying the last couple of blocks that from the word doma, we learn that only if the blood during the time of the ziva is coming on its own, not if it's coming because of a baby, and that's where we learn the whole concept of dam koshi that's tahor during Yemei Ziva. Well then, Rebbe Eliezer can argue to them hochinami. By the same thing, we could say as far as dam tohar, when the pasuk says the tohar omi mako dameha, that she's tohar from the source of her blood, meaning that she has the 33 or 66 days when she's tohar, even though blood is flowing. We could also say dameha means machmas achmer v'loy machmas vlad. So there it would come out. If we douse in that way, then it comes out that we're machmer. Then he has a source for his din. That we can say that. Normally, dam tohar is tohar, but only when it's machmas asma. But if it's machmas vlad, as it is in this case, because he was coming as a result of a new baby that's about to come, then the tohar would be implying that's tameh. The opposite of what we learned from Doma. From Doma, we learned to be makel, that during regular time of ziva, we would say normally she'd be a zava during these 11 days, but because it's not machmas asma, therefore she's tohar, Rabbi Eliezer could have used the word dameha. That talks about Jemei Tara, to say the other way around. Normally during these 66 days she's Tara, but if it's Machmas Vlad, then she's Tomei. Machmas a new Vlad. That's what I mean. Yeah. So that could have been a strong answer that he could have used against the Chacham, says Rabbi. Okay, the question is, in that case, but still, after all, though, Rabbi Eliezer is not actually making, all this time we've been saying, and the Kavachomer and everything we've been saying, it sounded like Rabbi Eliezer is willing to accept that it depends whether this blood is during the Yemei Nidur or the Yemei Ziva. But the fact is, Rabbi Eliezer never said any such thing. He said all dam koshi during the 66 days makes her tamei. So why? Ema b'mei nidur b'mei ziva tahora. If you're going to use that argument, then you should say, like we did before, about Doma. We should say that it depends whether it's during the days of Nidah or during the days of Zava. He should say that if it's during the days of Nidah, then fine, she's going to be Tomei, but if it's during the days of Ziva, she should be Tahar. The Kavachomer would also point to that. Even if we say Daya, you still have to be left with he's willing to allow that there's a distinction between Yemei Nidah and Yemei Ziva. So why is he saying a blanket statement that it's Tomei throughout? The answer is Amakro Peshev Yeshiva Achas Akolam. He uses the same word Peshev that the Chachamim used to learn that Dam Koshi, that any blood during the 66 days is Tahu, even if it's Dam Koshi. He says the other way around. Peshev means Yeshiva Achas Akolam. There's one kind of sitting for all of them. And since either based on the Kavachomer or based on the word Damer, he's going to say that there is some time during those 66 days when Dam Koshi can make her Tomei, namely if it was during Yemei Nida, then the word Peshev tells us to extend it even to the Yemei Ziva.
But normally Yemei Ziva, you know.
No, so that's the thing. So usually we would say, so if it was before the birth, if it was Dam Koshi before the first birth, then we would say, like we've been saying all along, Bimei Nida, she's Nida, Bimei Ziva, she's Tahar. But now, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, as a result of the word keshev, that if the dam koshi happens during the 66 days after a first birth of a girl, then she's going to be tamei no matter what, whether it was in yimei nida, whether it was in yimei ziva. Either way, that's not called dam toha, that's called regular blood, and therefore it's metamei. Okay, that's the halacha, is like the chacham anyway. Okay, Mishnah says.
So you point out kosher, she feels that there's another baby coming, until the baby comes out, she's kosher.
Well, as long as it meets the criteria of dam toha that we said before, it still has to be within 14 days, but it still has to be within 14 days and no more before the birth. But yeah. And it still has to be that there's not dam shofi after it for 24 hours, etc. Yeah. But I take that back. No, the Chacham say cold dam she roya tahorin and she ate that blood, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter even if she was bleeding every day during those 66 days. And some of it could be from the old baby, and some of it could be dam koshi from the new baby. The Chacham say it doesn't matter. And she ate that blood. Once the second baby comes out, yeah, she's going
to
be tamei from the birth. Okay.
As opposed to
Rabbi Eliezer, who would make her tamei from the blood throughout. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, kol achad after yom b'ches tefara. Throughout the 11 days of Ziva, a woman has a cheskes tahara. We'll see in the Gemara, we're going to have several different opinions what that means.
This means talking here coming
the Pashas we're talking about,
after Ziva.
The 11 days, right, by definition, no, after the 7 days, right. So what we mean is, any month, you were not talking about a pregnant woman anymore, you were not talking about a woman that's pregnant or giving birth or whatever. We're going to resume the dinim about birth in the next parak. So here, like, we're digressing a minute to talk about Ziva in general. So during the 11 days, she's Bechezka Tara. Because usually she's Mitzalekas Domim. Usually it's unexpected that she should be having bleeding during those 11 days. So therefore, she has a cheskes tahara. Continues the Mishnah. Yoshva lo v'lo bodka. Suppose that she sat and did not do bedikah. And here Rashi says this is a new case. This is not talking about during the 11 days. Because if she has a cheskes tahara during the 11 days, of course she doesn't need to check. We're talking about even during the other days, even during the 7 days, let's say. She's supposed to do a bedikah every day. Or let's say outside of the 7 or 11 days. Remember, once the 11 days are over, according to most Rishonim, it's up in the air. When is she going to become a nida the next time she bleeds? So now what happens, let's say she had the 11 days, yeah, she had 7 days of Nida 1 month, then she had the 11 days of Ziva, nothing happened, let's say, she went to the mikvah after the 7 days, nothing happened during the 11 days of Ziva, let's say. Now she comes to the 19th day, nothing happened, 20th day, nothing happened. She finally comes, let's say, to the 25th day, and she has her next bleeding. That would now be the beginning of her next Nida cycle, according to everybody else. So now what we're saying is, let's say on those days, let's say the 19th, the 20th, the 21st, or whatever, she didn't do a bedikah. So still we consider her to be tahor. Okay, we're going to have a rule that we had in the first paragraph that eventually when she bleeds, we're going to have mes left and mepkida lepkida. Fine, she's going to be tamei retroactively misafik for 24 hours, but not more than that. So yoshva lo v'lo bodka, so she's just sitting there and did not do a bedikah, shagaga, or if she didn't check, nenso, she didn't check because of an oinus, he's zida, or on purpose, she knew she was supposed to do a bedikah and she didn't, v'lo bodka, yeah, whatever, v'lo bodka, in all those cases, tahor. By the way, there's a different Mephoshim talk about an interesting point. Why does the Mishnah have to mention first that she sat and didn't do a bedikah, and then mentions the cases of Shogig, Oinus, and Mezi? What's the difference between them? So there's a few different answers. One of them being that the first one means, let's say, that she she b'chlal didn't know even that she has to check. She didn't even know that she has to check on these days. Shogig, Nemsa, Yizida means she knew, but then she forgot, or there was an Oinus, or on purpose she decided one day not to. There's that. Another explanation is that the first one is talking about when she's not involved with preparing taharas, and the second case is talking about when she is involved with preparing taharas. Anyway, so she's tahor. Higia shas vesta v'loy vodka, but once it comes the time of her expected vest, if she doesn't do a bedikah, harezu tmeya, then we assume that she's tamei, because orach v'zmane ba, we assume that her period came in its expected time, and therefore, even if she didn't do a bedikah, then we still assume that it came, and she just didn't realize it.
Once she sees it
actually happen, then she's tamei retroactively 24 hours as well. But you were saying, let's say her expected period is every Rosh Chodesh, let's say. So if Rosh Chodesh comes and she's into a bedikah, she has to consider herself tamei misafik as of Rosh Chodesh. So any taharas that she works on Rosh Chodesh are going to be tamei. Rav Meir, Im Hoyse B'Machve, Rav Meir says, if she was in hiding, the Idea Shach Vest of Le Bodka, and the time of her vest came and she did not do a Bedika, Arezu Tahor, then she's Tahor, even though it was the time of her vest, because fear causes a whole bath of blood. We'll see much later towards the end of the Masechta, the Gemara is actually going to talk about two different kinds of fear. There's an ongoing fear versus a sudden panic.
A sudden makes it
come all the more so, right? Like we have in the Megillah Esther, for example, when Esther receives the news about Haman Zera, she trembled, and the Gemara says one meaning of it is that she became nidda, because that sudden fright, that sudden panic caused her to become nidda.
The word expression of chalchal was when she heard that Mordechai was walking around.
Well, yeah, when he heard this walking around the sackcloth, right? Okay. Anyway. Therefore, Rav Meir says she's Tahor. It's actually a bit of discussion. Do the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir or not? Which also affects the question, who is the halacha like? You notice an interesting thing here in Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah Ois Beis. You can see over there, it's referring to what Rav Meir says. You have Maimuni Shom, which usually means Maimuni is the Rambam, but it's in parentheses. So that's a mistake. The Rambam does not, in fact, bring this halacha. Either because some of the Mephoshim say because the Rambam would say the halacha is like the Chachamim, so therefore it's not applicable. Others say because the Rambam holds it's not relevant anyway, because based on other considerations in halacha, Rav Meir is following the opinion that vestis d'oraisa. We hold that vestis d'rabbanan, so therefore it's a moot point. On the other hand, you can see it continues that the Smag and the Shulchan Aruch do bring it. So it is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Although with that said, you have a further machlokas within that also. Even if the halacha is like Rav Meir, what does he mean harezu tahora? Does he mean she doesn't even need to do a bedikah? Or does it mean lachatchila she should do a bedikah? But if she didn't, then we can consider her tahor if she doesn't find after the fact that there was any blood. So you have a machlokas rishonim on that. It ends up being a machlokas between the machaber and the ramah also. If she didn't do a bedikah afterwards, does she need to do a bedikah lachatchila? Or is it only bedieved if she missed it, then we say that she's tahor? The Taz also points out another point also, you would have to have that this charada, that we know for a fact that this fear lasted throughout the whole expected time of her vest. Otherwise, if it was only part of the time, then she might have had the bleeding before or after it started or ended. Okay. Anyway. Aval, but continues the Mishnah, even though, so we said before that the woman has a cheskas tara during the 11 days, and that after the 11 days also, if she doesn't do bedikas, then she's tahor. Aval, you may have zov v'hazov, of shemeresi and keneged yoyim, but during the 7 days that a zov or a zov has to count, or the 1 day that a shemeresi and keneged yoyim needs to count, harei l'b'cheskas tumah, they have a chazaka of tumah during those days, and they do actually need to do bedikas.
Shemar
Yom Kippur means that she had 1 day or 2 days in a row during the Yemei Ziv. So then she needs one clean day after that, and then she can go to the mikvah as well.
Break before, so the shin comes out of bed.
Well, you need, right, she needs one whole clean day, otherwise she's going to be a Zavag Dolma, right? So if she had bleeding Sunday and Monday, Tuesday is her clean day, and if everything's good, then on Tuesday she can go to the mikvah, and Tuesday night she's Moses her husband, right? So those people are B'chaz Kostroma, and therefore they need to be doing B'dikas. Okay. Gemara starts off. L'mai hilchsa. When we say in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah, we're saying that during the 11 days she has a cheskas tara, regarding what? Amar Rav Yehuda loy mashen tzricha b'dikah. So Rav Yehuda says that means that she doesn't need to do the b'dikah twice a day that we learned in the first parish. We said that in the morning and at night, right? And the first thing in the morning, and then first thing right after shkia, in order to make sure that the taras she works on her. So according to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is telling us that during the 11 days she doesn't need to do that because anyway she has a chazaka that she's not going to bleed during that time. So the question is, the Halmit Katani Sefer Yoshua Vole Vodka, but since the next case of the Mishnah says, if she sat and did not do a Bedikah, implying that she needs to do a Bedikah, Mikhlal de Lachatchila Boya Bedikah, so that implies that Lachatchila she should have been doing a Bedikah. The answer is Sefer Aston Li Mei Nida. The next part, the Yoshua Vole Vodka, is talking during the days when she could be Nida. V'hochi kama, kol yud alaf yom b'cheskas tara v'le boya b'dikah, during the 11 days she has a cheskas tara, she doesn't require b'dikahs at all, avo b'mei nidasa boya b'dikah, but once the 11 days pass, and conceivably she could be a nida again, then she requires b'dikahs on every morning and every evening. And then that's where the Mishnah is saying, Yoshua Valebodka, Shoga, Nante, Izid Valebodka, Tahoga. So then we'd say she's Tahor, meaning, in other words, again, that the, you know, when eventually she has blood, then fine, you know, retroactively 24 hours, mess less. But, well, during the Yimei Nidah, we're talking. Keep in mind that when we say Yimei Nidasa over here, so it doesn't mean, according to Rashi, it doesn't mean the actual Yimei Nidah. It means the days when it could be Yimei Nidah, namely any time from the 19th onward. No, any time the day after the 11 days are over, so from the 19th onward, any time, the next time after that she bleeds, she's going to be Nidah again. Now, here we can talk about the Rambam's Shitta. The Rambam's Shitta, uniquely about the Yimei Nidah and Yimei Ziva, is that it's always continuously 7 and 11, 7 and 11. So according to him, the first 7 days are always Yimei Nidah, the next days are always called Yimei Ziva, the next 7 days after that are always called Yimei Nidah, whether she actually bleeds in them or not. In other words, according to the Rambam, no, Ziva Zavak Gerla, she's still going to need 3 days in a row during the 11th.
He's still going to finish the Nidah after the 7 days?
No. What it is like this. According to everybody else, the way it works is that if she, so let's say, for example, let's say her first period in her life happens to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So then she becomes Bas Mitzvah, whatever. Her first period happens to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So then from Aleph to Zion, that those are who you may need. From Ches to Yud Ches, those are who you may need. According to everybody except for the Rambam, what happens is after that, the calendar is open. When is her next Yimei Nidah? When the next time she bleeds. If it's on the 19th of Nisan, then the 19th. If it's on the 20th, then the 20th. So in other words, they have 7 days, then 11 days, and then an open time until the next bleeding.
But during that, after the 11 days, she's...
After the 11 days, the next time she bleeds, she will be Nidah,
right,
by definition.
Not before.
But not, well, within the 11 days.
What's she called in between?
In between, it's just, it's open. During those days, according to the Rambam. One thing that means, according to those Rishonim, is that there's a bit of a difference between the terms Yimei Nidah and Yimei Ziva. Yimei Nidah means that she actually bled during that time and became a Nidah, but Yimei Ziva, according to everybody else except the Rambam, Yimei Nidah means that these are days when she actually bled on one or more of these 7 days and became a Nidah. Yimei Ziva, according to them, doesn't mean she actually became a Zava. It means she could become a Zava if she has bleeding during those 11 days. According to the Rambam, the way it works is it's always 7 and 11, 7 and 11 continuous, which means whether she bleeds or not. In other words, it comes out, according to the Rambam, both Yimei Nidah and Yimei Ziva mean, it doesn't mean she had to have been a Nidah, it doesn't mean she had to have been a Zava, it just means during these 7 days she could be a Nidah, during these 11 days she could be a Zava. But in other words, it comes out, let's take an example. Let's say, for example, that she bleeds on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Fine, everybody agrees that begins with Yimei Nidah. Let's say, for example, that the next time after that she has bleeding, let's say, is on the 26th of the month. According to everybody else, that makes her Nidah again. According to the Rambam, it would make her a Zava. Because let's calculate. You have 7 days from the 1st to the 7th of Nisan, 11 days from the 8th to the 18th, another 7 from the 19th to the 25th, and now we're on the 27th, which is within the 11 days. So according to the Rambam, she'll be a Zava.
She's got 2 cycles in a month.
Since you mentioned that point, many Rishonim argue with the Rambam on that. In particular, the Ramban asks on the Rambam that you have various Gemaras that seem to openly contradict the Rambam, and how does it work? So there's a lot of different answers. One interesting point the Maharshal makes is he says the Rambam's Shitta would only be if she doesn't have a regular cycle. If she doesn't have a Vest Kavua, that is where the Rambam says it's just strictly 7 and 11, 7 and 11. If she has a regular cycle, the Maharshal says, the Rambam would agree that she doesn't become a Zava the next time she bleeds, that she would be a Nidah the next time. Okay, anyway. The Rambam doesn't specify. He just said, the Rambam on the face of it just says the only thing that can interrupt the 7 and the 11 is giving birth. So it sounds like, according to the Rambam, there's no exception. Anything else? But you have another example also. For example, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because it's relevant to our Gemara. It's relevant to the wording of our Gemara over here. But the Ramban asks the question on the Rambam. You have a case, which we learned back in Erchin, where you have a woman get mixed up. Where in her cycle is she standing? She doesn't know whether she's now in her Yimei Nidah or Yimei Ziva. How many clean days does she need to get back on track? So we said that, let's say she had bleeding for 1 day, then she needs another 17 clean days after it. Because no matter what, no matter how you look at it, either way, even if that one day was the first day of her Yemei Nida, fine, 6 more days finishes off the Yemei Nida, 11 days finishes off the Yemei Ziva, and then she's back on track. The next time after that she bleeds, by definition, is going to be the beginning of Yemei Nida. So they asked, according to the Rambam, so the Ramban asked on the Rambam, how would that work? According to the Rambam, it couldn't work. And so therefore, the answer that they give on that, I don't remember who first proposed this answer, is the Rambam, maybe the Ramban himself says it, I don't know, the Rambam would agree that if she was Toya, that if she made this mistake, if she got mixed up where she is in her cycle, then fine, we'll allow that the 7 and 11 days don't have to be continuous one after the other. We'll allow her to have 17 clean days and get back on track, because otherwise she'll be messed up for the rest of her life.
Yeah. In any other case, not.
But so again, according to the Marashal, except for birth, and according to the Marashal, also if she has a regular cycle to begin with.
Yeah, but that's not accepted by everybody.
No, well, the Marashal is explaining that in the Rambam. Okay. Anyway, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because, interesting, our Gemara over here is one of the ones that works out better according to the Rambam. Because when we use the expression over here, b'nei nidasa boya b'dika, according to Rashi, here we have to use the word b'nei nidasa to mean not literally her yemei nida, because if she's doing her yemei nida, she's tamei anyway. There's no sense in doing a b'dika. It would have to mean the days when potentially she could be a nida, namely anything after the 11 days. Whereas according to the Rambam, it works out very nicely. The 7 days after the 11 days are always called yemei nida. Okay. Anyway. So,
the halacha,
well, practically speaking nowadays, it's a moot point, because we don't have the 7 and 11 days anyway. Forget about the 5 days that we add. More to the point is, any time a woman has bleeding, you have the famous Chumra of Reb Zera that we're going to learn about in the last parak of Bar Masechta, that any time that B'nos Yisrael Achmiru Al Asman, Jewish women were Machmer, that even if they have a small amount of bleeding, they consider themselves as if they were a Zav of Dola, and they need 7 clean days. So therefore, it's a moot point. So you don't have the 7 and 11 days thing anyway.
So we take away the 11 days.
Today we take away the whole concept. We always say that whenever she bleeds, no matter when in the month it is, we always treat it as if it was 3 successive days of bleeding during the 11 and make her a Zav of Gola, and she has to have 7 clean days. We also put on her the Chumra of a Nida that she has to toivel at night, whereas a Zav of Gola could toivel during the day. So we do a hybrid.
So today we say always...
It's always as if it was during the 11 days. It's always as if it was during the 11 days, right? And always as if there were 3 or more days in succession, right?
It's basically now, Sunday.
So nowadays, she has Nida.
How many days does she have?
So actually, what she has is, so we have the minhag that's brought back from the times of the Rishonim, that she has to wait a minimum of 5 days anyway, even if she's not bleeding. So she anyway has to wait Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
7?
Well, then she has to start counting the 7 clean days.
Oh.
The 5 days are before she...
First
she has to have the 5 because of Pelat Shit Mazera that we talked about previously. Then she starts counting her 7 clean days. She does her Hefik Tadah then Thursday night. Friday is the first of her 7 days, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday night she goes to the mitzvah. So it comes out she has a minimum of 12 days that she's off limits to her husband.
And Hefik Tadah just to see that makes her still continue bleeding.
What?
This Hefik Tadah she's making every day.
The Hefik Tadah, right. Well, she doesn't have to do a Hefik Tadah every day. She has to do a B'dikta every day, right, to make sure that she didn't bleed again, right.
So today we count the 7 days plus...
So today we have 5 plus 7, but we don't have the whole concept that it depends when during the month it was, whether it was during the 7 days of Nida or during the 11 days of Ziva. We always treat it as if it was during the 11 days of Nida.
And how do we treat it again?
By saying that she needs 7 clean days. If we considered her a Nida, she would just need to wait till the end of the 7th day from when it started.
He was saying no.
But he was saying that no, she actually has to have 7 full clean days on which there was no bleeding. Mida Araisa, what we would say is, if she started bleeding on Sunday, let's say, it could even be, for Nida, it could even be, let's say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, every single day she's having bleeding, as long as it stops before Shvi'ah on Shabbos, then good, she goes to the Mishpah Masa Shabbos and she's Mutter to her husband. That would be the Dinda Araisa, if it was during the 7 days. But
right,
we don't do that, right?
After the 7 days, we have...
We just say that once she stops bleeding, she needs 7 clean days.
7
clean days. And if it was within the 5 days, then she needs that as well. Okay, anyway, let's get back to the Gemara. Okay, so what we're saying is, okay, so the Mishnah means, so again, so we're saying that during the 11 days of Ziva, she doesn't need a B'dikah because she's the Chazaka, she's not going to bleed during that time. But the Mishnah is saying, so like, during the 11 days, she has a Chesed Tarah, so she doesn't need the twice a day B'dikah, because anyway, it's not expected that she's going to be bleeding. Al-Bimeni Dosa Boya, bedika, but during the days when she could expect to become nida, during the 7 days after the 11, namely, or according to Rashi, any number of days after that, then she does need bedikas. However, the Mishnah says, yoshva v'le bodka, if during that time she sat and did not do bedikas, shavga nense izida v'le bodka, or b'shoigig or b'onus or b'meiz that she didn't do bedika, tohira. So that would be what the distinction that the Mishnah is making between the 11 days and after the 11 days. During the 11 days, she doesn't need to do bedikas, even lahachila. During the 7, he's considered tahar, because during the 11 days, unless she bleeds, unless she actually bleeds. But during the 7 days, forget today. We're talking dinner de gemara. Forget today. But now, if after the 11 days, she's supposed to be going back to doing the twice a day bedikas, because there's a chance any time she might bleed. But if she didn't, then nevertheless, she's still tahar. So that would be what the Mishnah is saying. That's Rabbi Huda's explanation. Second explanation, Rabbi Chista Omer. Rabbi Chista says a different explanation of the Mishnah. Loi tzricha elul Rav Meir. The chiddush of our Mishnah about the yoshva of the during the 11 days is according to Rav Meir. The Omer isha she'ein lo vest asur l'shamish. Now Rav Meir holds that a woman who does not have a vest kavua is not allowed to have relations with her husband, because any time they have relations, she could end up becoming a nida. So therefore, according to him, hani mili bimi. One second. No, she, at some point during the month, she's going to, right? So therefore, she doesn't really have a chesed tzara. So he would say, hani mili bimi nidata. Now that only applies during the yimei nida. Avol bimei zivata, but the point of our mission is saying that during the 11 days she has a chesed tzara would mean b'chesed tzara time. If she would still have, during those 11 days, she has a chesed tzara, because in that case, during those 11 days, we don't expect her to bleed. Which means, in other words, the Tosfos says, so far, what the Gemara would mean is either, therefore, so he's okay, as Ramey is saying, he has to divorce her. But until he divorces her, let's continue the Gemara, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos says. So the question is, in that case, why does Ramey say they have to get divorced? All they have to do is wait for the 11 days, and then they're good.
The 11 days of Ziva.
So let's say, for example, any given month, fine. She doesn't have a regular vest. But every month, more or less, she's going to be bleeding. When she does, any time it's after the 11 days, she's going to have 7 days when she's nida, and then she's mutter for the next 11 days. So why, according to the mayor, so at least you have 11 days out of every month, 11 days out of every 30, approximately, that she can have relations with. So why does the mayor say they have to get divorced? The answer is, Duma Asila Kokoli Bimei Nida. Because he would say they still might get messed up during the Yimei Nida. In other words, he would say they're not allowed to have relations after the 11 days, because any time after that she could potentially bleed. And therefore, so the mayor is saying that we're too afraid that something may go wrong, that they may end up having relations outside of those 11 days, and then she may bleed during that time. So then there would be a problem. Apparently, yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, one thing is because he holds vestis daraisa. One thing is we learned in the first paragraph, the mayor holds the whole concept of a vest is daraisa. So therefore, if she doesn't, therefore, like this, in effect, her vest is that any time outside the 11 days, she could conceivably bleed.
She could.
Okay, but that's reason enough to be masmer. So Tosfos says, though, what the Mishnah would be saying is, fine, they are supposed to be getting divorced, but at least until they do have those 11 days every month that they can. And number two, what it would mean is that, let's say, so they got married and then discovered that she doesn't have a vest kavua. Fine, at least during the 11 days, if they happen to be the Yimei Ziva, they don't have to get divorced. After that, according to the mayor, they would.
And by the way, from this Gemara, you see
that most commonly women in those days had a vest kavua. Otherwise, according to the mayor, very few women could get married. Whereas nowadays, it's very rare the other way around. It's very rare that women have a vest kavua.
Yeah.
So this is a real example, a real practical example of nishtanu akivim, where we see that the nature of women has changed between the times of the Gemara and now. Nowadays, it's very rare that women have an actual vest kavua al pi halacha. Yeah, I mean, it's a few days, one way or the other, but it's usually not so regular, every 30th day or every day of the month. It's within a few days, but that's not a vest kavua.
It's
still considered a vest chain of kavua.
Exact same day.
Yeah, it means the exact same, and not only the exact same day, but the exact same oina, the exact same 12-hour section of the day, yeah. Fine. So that's a second. So that's a second explanation of the Mishnah. That the point about Kolah Hadati and Mechetzah Tara is that Rav Meir is saying that even this woman who doesn't have a Vest Kavua is Mutter during the 11 days. Okay. So the question is.
Try to do a little harder. Every time you walk out, the door stays open. Just a little harder. Just a try. A little harder. No, 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 kind of.
So the question is, Vaha Hamid Katani Sefer Higia Shat Zeska Vladvodka, since the Mishnah continues with Rav Meir saying that if the, or not even Rav Meir, before Rav Meir, we said once the time of her vest comes, if she doesn't do a bedikah, then we said she's Tomei. So, so the Mishnah has to be talking about a case of a woman who has a vest. What are you telling me that Rav Meir, what are you telling me that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a woman who doesn't have a vest? The answer is chasuri mechzura, that we would say according to this explanation, the Mishnah is missing a phrase, v'hachi katoni, what it means to say is like this, kol yud alaf v'cheskes tara v'shau yalabayla. During the 11 days she has a cheskes tara and she's even mutter to her husband, even according to the maid. Well, we may need the asura, but during the other 19 days of the month she would be also according to the maid. V'amed v'ram amurim v'isha she'en l'vest. When does that apply to a woman who doesn't have a vest kavua? Avo yesh l'vest, but if, now the Mishnah will be shifting gears. If she has a vest, muteres, then she's mutter the whole time outside of her vest, with sricha bedikah. However, she still needs bedikah any time outside of the 11 days, because there might be, because there is a chance that she might bleed. Bamed v'ram amurim v'isha she'en l'vest. Sorry. Then yoshva v'lay vodka. Then if during that time, though, she has a vest kavua, but she sits and she didn't do bedikah. So shugga nancy is in v'lay vodka to her. He gives that vest of v'lay vodka to man. So in other words, according to that, the Mishnah will be talking about two cases. First part is talking about a woman who does not have a vest kavua, and then it switches gears and talks about a woman who does have a vest kavua. So the question is, Hamid is safer to Meir, Rachel Abra Meir, but then the next part of the Mishnah is the Meir, talking about the case where she's in hiding. So obviously that means the beginning of the Mishnah is not like the Meir, because B'Pashas, if we're quoting the Meir in the middle of the Mishnah, it means the first part is not like him, it means the first part is according to some other Tana, and then the Meir comes in and says his piece. The answer is no. Cooler of Meir. The answer is we could say the whole Mishnah does go like a Meir, but Hachikama, what it means is like this. In Loi Hoysa B'machve, if she was not in hiding, the Giyashat Vest of Vodka and the time of her vest, because you were talking about where she has a vest Kavua and she didn't do a Bedikah, Tmei. Then we would assume that she's Tomei, even though later on she checked and didn't find any blood, because Chazaka Urach Bezmane Bar, right? But share a mayor oimer because your mayor says there's a difference whether she's in hiding. If she was in hiding, the yeshat vest of Lagodka to her, because the fear causes the blood to stop. So therefore we could say the whole Mishnah is going according to the mayor. So far we have, again, first explanation is that first explanation of Rabbi Yehuda is that the Mishnah is distinguishing between when she doesn't need bedikas, which is during the 11 days, versus when machatchila she needs bedikas, which is the rest of the month. And then we have Rav Chista's explanation that Rav Meir is saying she's also to her husband that if she doesn't have a vest kavua, the only time she's mutter to her husband is during the 11 days, whereas if she has a vest kavua, she's still supposed to be doing regular bedikas all the time, but if she didn't, then only when it comes to her vest kavua, only when it comes to the time of her vest, do we assume that she's tamei unless she's in hiding.
Which is when?
What do you mean, which is when? When the time of her vest comes.
During, after the 11 days?
No, whenever her vest is, whether it's every 30th day, whether it's every first day of the month. On that day, then we would say, if she didn't do a bedikka, we still assume her to be Tommy. Unless she was in hiding, because Karoda Mithalak is a
day. And
after the day passes, then that's the thing. We assume that she became Tomei on that day. She did a bedikka the next day and didn't find anything. Doesn't matter. It means it was just a drop of blood and it got reabsorbed or whatever and she didn't notice it, but she's still Tomei.
For that day?
No, we assume that she became Nidda that day. Or was Maneba. Okay. Third explanation, Rava Omar, Loima She'en Matama Me'esles. The point of the line in the Mishnah, Kolach again, Bechetzes Tara, is that during those 11 days, we don't hold of the concept of Me'esles. If she does have bleeding during those 11 days, we don't say that retroactively she was Tomei Misafik up to 24 hours earlier like we learned in the first pair. So the Gemara says, "Meis, I have a contradiction to what Rava says. We learn in a Braisa, a nida v'hazava v'hashemeres yom v'keneged yom v'ayeledes, a nida or zava, which by definition is during the 11 days, or shemeres yom v'keneged yom, which is also within the 11 days, v'ayeledes, or a woman who gives birth, kulam mitamas mas les. All of them are mitamas mas les. Retroactively. Kyukta. Okay, so that's a contradiction, and we can't accept Rava's explanation of our Mishnah. The Mishnah does not mean to say that if she bleeds during the 11 days, we don't apply mass less, because the Braisa clearly tells us that we do. Now, you have the question, by the way, Tosfos brings up the point. We learned in the first parak that Oyeledes is one of the cases where we say that, where we say Dayashaita. Why all of a sudden are we saying now over here, now why over here are we saying mass less? Dayashaita means that only when the actual blood comes do we assume that she, do we say she's coming from then on, not before and not previously. We don't suspect that it started coming before that, unlike a regular case, unlike a regular woman. So why over here are we saying mess less? The Tosfos gives a few different answers. One could be there's a difference between regular menstrual blood that she has while she's pregnant versus blood that comes when the womb is starting to open. That's one possibility, Tosfos says. Another possibility would be that with the point being, with blood from Tosfos the Kever, you don't know how long ago the Kever started opening. Therefore, you have to apply. And that's what our Gemara is talking about. The first parak was talking about just the regular, if she has a regular period while she's pregnant. Another answer Tosfos says is here that we're going over here like Rabbi Yossi, who says that she has to have missed three onus in order to say Dayashaita. Here we're talking about missing only one or two. Okay, Tosfos goes through a few different possible answers.
That previous evidence.
That was Rabbi Yossi said that. We said that the Chachamim disagree. So that's what we're saying. So if she didn't miss three onus yet, then we still apply mass less according to Rabbi Yossi. Whereas if she missed three onus and now after three onus she starts bleeding again during her pregnancy, that's when we'd say Dayashaita. Okay. Oinam means a regular cycle. Yeah, the regular date that we expect that she would have. Rav Huna Bachia says in the name of Shmuel a fourth explanation of what the line Kol Achadasi Mechesed Tara of our Mishnah means. It means Loima She'ena Kevas Loves B'Soichimei Zivasa. It comes to tell us that during the 11 days of Ziva, it's impossible to establish a vest during that time. In other words, for example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say three times in a row she had bleeding 15 days apart. Now, if it had been, let's say, 30 or 25 or whatever days apart, then that would be her regular vest. Now, we'd say every 25 or 30 or whatever it is days, she can be expected to bleed. But here where it was every 15 days, now 15 days, let's figure, you have seven, the first seven of those days she's in Nida. The next 11 days she's doing her Yemei Ziva. So if it comes on the 15th, then it's still during the Yemei Ziva. We don't consider that to be a vest kavua. The Mishnah is telling us she has a Chesed Tara, and therefore, even though usually three times happening in the same interval makes that she has a vest kavua, but here where it comes out during the Yemei Ziva, the Mishnah is telling us that's not considered a vest kavua.
So a vest kavua, in other words, can only be outside the...
Can only be outside the Yemei Ziva. That's according to Shmuel, that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Right?
Is that a halacha?
Well, we'll get there. So we're going to have a bit of discussion about it, but we're going to break now for Myra, so we'll leave that for you. Okay.